Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis
Cosby.
77 WABC.
Be happy. Ooh. Don't worry, be happy.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities that are shielding us from the massive rains out there. Thank you, NJDiet.com.
And you forget the massive traffic, Curtis, because, of course, President Trump just speaking at the UN, and boy, the roads are a mess. It's like a formula for disaster.
Well, there's no option because mass transit is a mess, but you never know it. Because the very genius, that's the way he was referred to by then Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Franciabrota Cuomo, King Cuomo I, when the governor actually went on a talent search to find somebody who can run the broken down subways and bus system in New York. And so they brought Andy Byford over, the limey blimey, across the pond. And he was supposed to be the big fixer. His first suggestion was to bring in double-decker buses, which had been tried twice here before and failed. And clearly people were very jaundiced and very grim at the prospects of him doing anything. But yesterday, he had the chutzpah. In the face of rats, delays, ceilings falling down, switch, signal troubles, to suggest that the subway is getting better. In fact, listen to the limey blimey as he tried to put a positive spin on things before the monthly meeting of the money-taking agency, better known as the MTA.
You know, for the deputants out there, we do listen to what you say. It is useful to get that reality check periodically so that we can make sure we're focused on the right things.
You listen to what we said?
Andy Byford.
The subways suck. You listen? They suck. Okay?
It is amazing, Curtis. You know, it's so funny, too, when you hear the statistics. It's like he comes out, and first of all, he's very, you know, professorial. It's like there's nothing professorial about the subways. But he's hailing the fact that on-time performance this summer, 68%, and it was 65%. Like, look at us, 3%. And meanwhile, it's like if 50 trains are late, well, then they consider that a bad day. That's a terrible day for us.
Well, Rita, hold your horses, Rita, because this is all a work in progress, according to Andy Byford.
I think it was back in July that we do report to you on these progress against the subway action plan. Roughly 1 year in, it's just over 1 year in, but I think it is good to take stock of where we are on what I would still describe as very much a work in progress.
Okay,
it's progress. By the way, it's not progress; it's progress.
Right. He wants us to take stock in where we are now, ladies and gentlemen. If any of you have used the subways in the past year. Do you actually believe that the subway is getting better, as Andy Byford told the MTA board, the money-taking agency board? Do you think it's actually gotten worse? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
You know what's staggering, Curtis, too, that they spent $850 million. I would love a full accounting. He gave us some of it, but I would love to see every subway that I have been. I was just on the subways yesterday. Boy, it was scary as heck.
Well, you don't understand, Rita, because the MTA, the money-taking agency, is turning the corner.
And even today are saying that nothing has improved. That's simply not the case. The statistics show that we are turning the corner where we need to turn it. But these things, there is no panacea. You don't just click your fingers and undo decades of underinvestment.
Huh? Yeah. You know, it's like click your finger, you know, click your heels like I want to go to Oz. I want to go to, come
right,
on.
Right. Like Dorothy. Right. She wants to go back to Kansas. You know, maybe he ought to be wearing Dorothy's slippers. It would fit him so nicely, Andy Byfred.
It just shows what an unbelievable disconnect he has for all
back.
Of us who ride on the subway.
I want to go back
to
London.
Unbelievable.
I want to go back to London. And remember, he is dedicated, all of you sucker taxpayers out there, to getting the service back on track.
You've got to get exponentially better at the basics. You have to obsess about the detail and get right at the detail every day, every time, in terms of getting the subway to work more reliably. So I'm very proud of my team.
Proud.
In the face of relentless criticism that,
yes,
we've stuck at it and that we're going to keep sticking at it until we get the service back to where it should be.
Andy Byfred, you suck, and the MTA subway service and bus service sucks, okay?
You know the thing, the British accent, and maybe this, it's like, I don't understand why they would bring a Brit in, and he doesn't sound like he's got a lot of energy for repairs.
1-800-848-WABC, that's 1-800-848-9222. Now, not to leave you other commuters out, on the very same day, the Long Island Railroad said, even though we had the worst on-time performance numbers and service indicators in the month of August, we are actually improving ourselves. And in fact, there is a demand on the part of the commuters that the fares be rolled back, not increased, because, believe it or not, well, it's obvious, the MTA money-taking agency, which runs the Long Island Railroad, the largest commuter suburban railroad in the nation, wants a fare increase, even though their service is bottomed out. In fact, listen to some of the writers' complaints.
It's been horrible, especially for the amount of money that we pay. It's ridiculous. The train it was late yesterday. It's late today.
The train tickets are expensive. It just goes up. And, you know, you have to wait here. You expect to, you know, you're in a routine to get to work on time. And you have to keep waiting and waiting.
A good start might be just, like, stop telling us it's on time. You know, be a little bit more transparency on some of these late things. Because then people can make other arrangements.
That is the problem, by the way. When you see, it suddenly goes up on the board, Curtis. The other day I was there and it's like, okay, train coming in 1 minute. And sure enough, 10 minutes goes by. And then they're like, oh, now train coming in 5 minutes.
Well, that's why
be honest with us.
They wouldn't have these complaints if they had the beer carts back. Because you can get half in the bag. They used to have the beer cars.
You need a 2-for-1 happy hour.
That's right. You get so blitzed, you wouldn't care if you were an hour late, 2 hours late, three hours late.
You mean Mark Judge would be on the train with us?
Oh, exactly.
Brett Kavanaugh's guy,
yeah.
Mark Judge?
100K to bust. Judge and Kavanaugh. But anyway.
It could be the judge car, Curtis.
At least
that could be good.
When you say transparency to New Jersey Transit's credit, they say we suck and the service is going to get worse. Governor Murphy is not offering any light of day at the end of the tunnel. In fact, here are some New Jersey riders complaining about New Jersey Transit trains.
Cost me an extra $30 and another half hour. The money was kind of inconvenient.
Screws up your whole morning, you know. So, yeah, they need to figure it out.
I get alerts, and it was canceled, like, within minutes of being there. So that doesn't really help. Tons of cancellations, tons of delays. All the trains say 15 minutes. It's never that.
I mean, it's just frustrating, and the pricing has continued to go up, but the quality of service has not.
Don't worry. Be happy. New Jersey Transit, horrible. Long Island Railroad, horrible. Subways, worse than ever. And yet, they're all trying to put happy faces on this. 1-800-848-WABC. Rita, let's first go to Billy in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Billy.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Rita. Hi, Curtis. Simple yes or no question. Should people be allowed to eat food down in the subway systems? Yes or no?
You know, I think no. What do you think, Bill?
I think we should start pounding away on it. No, that's why we have rats everywhere. That's why we have garbage down the subway system. Other cities have clean subway systems because they don't allow.
All right.
You can't eat food down the subway system.
This is the problem, Billy. That same MTA board, money-taking agency board, has removed half the containers from the subway platform. So oftentimes you can't find a place to stow your garbage. And the second thing is, if you're stuck on the subways for 2-3 hours, you're going to get hungry, right? You're going to want to eat.
Well, I was about to say, I'm guilty of it. I have done it, but I will tell you what I think is disgusting, Curtis, is smelling it. Because somebody gets on, they have like a burger the other day. Somebody had a Big Mac. I love Big Macs, but I don't want to smell somebody else's Big Mac.
You love it. The styrofoam, the big styrofoam box there with the lo mein in it. You can smell it, the garlic, like 3 cars away, Billy.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Delayed gratification, self-restraint. That's what it's all about. That's what personal responsibility. Those are the three things. Everything we talk about every day, what you guys talk about, it all comes down to that.
Remember
well, and
this,
also
Billy,
crime, too, Bill.
To show that's
because of instant gratification.
To show you how serious the MTA money-taking agency is about your being upset about eating food in the subway system leads to dumping trash in the tracks and the attraction of rats. You'll get a fine if they see you littering, but if you don't pay the fare, they don't arrest you or give you a fine any longer, according to Cyrus White Shoes Vance of the Manhattan DA's office.
Yeah, which is just like free rule. But he says, Bill just says, it's all instant gratification. We got to be a little more respectful
of
each other.
If I'm stuck in the subways for 3 hours and I'm multitasking, right, going to a second job, I got to eat.
Oh, and by the way, I have definitely been, I was actually eating a granola bar, but it wasn't a stinky Big Mac.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe. Joey calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon, gang. Hey, I want to tell you, I'm 32 years old, and a few years ago, I had kind of an existential crisis. I'm sitting on the New Jersey Transit. I'm delayed a half hour, and I said, is this life? Is this the rest of my life?
And you wanted to shoot yourself, right?
And I went ahead, and I got a job in Jersey, 10 minutes from my house. Now I go fishing after work in the afternoons. I take my car. I listen to you guys. It's a beautiful thing.
Woo!
Best thing I ever did.
Joe, wait, now, Joe, what's the best part, listening to us or the fishing? Which part do you love the most?
I got to give it to the fishing. I'm sorry. I love you guys. But quite frankly, I'm so glad I did it. I even took a little bit of a pay cut. People said, you're crazy. You're crazy. I said, no, quality of life. I need to have it back. I was sick of getting home at 8 o'clock at night because of trains.
And Joe, you go crazy too, Curtis. You sit there, you're like, oh my God.
Now, Giuseppe, what do you go fishing for? You go lake fishing or ocean fishing?
I'm right in Atlantic Highlands. I go in the bay. I go for striped bass, bluefish. It's nice too because my wife works till about 7 o'clock. So I get home when the market closes and I go ahead and I go out from about 5 till 7 o'clock. It's beautiful.
You see, Joe? Don't worry. Be happy, right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
You
He's
made the
it.
Move. He no longer uses New Jersey Transit. Got a job locally to where he lives near the Atlantic Highlands. Don't worry. Be happy.
Joe's got the formula, by the way. He's inspiring us. I like the fishing idea. It's kind of fun.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mikey in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How are you guys? All right. I'll tell you, I'm a happy man because I don't commute on the subways anymore. I drive my car to work now.
So that way you get to listen to us. That's why you're so happy.
Exactly. And you know what? Everybody has this mental schedule in their head on a train system. Everybody talks about a train schedule. Go into the subway and try to get a train schedule. There is no such thing. People say, well, this train's not late. This train's on time. This train, we're working efficiently. Where was the train schedule? When did I take the 232 out of the 23rd Street station? Never.
Not only that, but Mike, if you go upstairs and you take a bus, oftentimes you're waiting at a bus stop, and they do give
you the
expected schedule of the buses running on that line.
Exactly.
Now, they tend to be late, too, but at least you have a general ballpark idea. But you are right. There is absolutely no schedule. And how could you have one in the subways? Because they're always late, or they're running on the wrong tracks, or they're switching with signal problems, Mike.
And they change it every time. You heard, Mike, the other day I was there. I'm like, 1 minute till the train. I'm like, okay, good, perfect. And then suddenly it was like, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, but
Mike, have no fear.
The limey blimey, the Brit says the subways are getting better. Don't you feel that, Mike?
How can they do it? It's going to take $1 trillion to revamp the subway system.
Well, and he doesn't have the energy to, when you listen to him. You want someone who's like, we're going to get to it. Roll up your sleeves. Where's the energy? I'm asleep listening to him.
Listening?
Yes, he's going to get at it.
Yeah, he's got to get that. Even Brits, are kind of mild-mannered by nature, but he needs fire.
Can you ever imagine if instead of Winston Churchill, the leader of the Brits, when the Nazis launched the Blitz against London, if Andy Byford was trying to rally the Brits?
Oh, my God. There would be no Brits.
Zig Heil. Zig Heil.
Yeah, they forget it. Forget it. God. They'd be sipping tea and crumpets.
He is so nebbishy, so schlubby.
Yeah, he's not like the guy you see, especially when you're thinking of all... Talk about a dichotomy when you think of the rats and the burgers and the... Come on!
I hear Andy Byford. He sounds like one of the experts that John Batchelor goes to late at night, you know, when he's talking about things on the subcontinent. Yes, I'm Andy Byford.
And the Chinese wedding. But you know what the thing is? I wouldn't mind if he had results. I could deal with him being lethargic if he had results. Sometimes lethargic people are just low-key.
He's a wanker. He's a freaking wanker who ought to go back to the U.K.
Need to give him M-Drive, Curtis.
1-800. Nothing will help this guy. 1-800-848-WABC. And those of you listening, because I know many of you do, who work with Andy Byford over there at J Street Borough Hall, which is MTA, Money Taking Agency headquarters, walk in on him and said, hey, you know what Sliwa called you today? A wanker. And to add insult to injury when it comes to the just horrible service of the subways, Andy Byford blamed the riders for the delay because he says they're constantly holding the doors open, preventing the train from closing up and moving to the next station. So you see, it's not the MTA. It's you, the riders, who are responsible for the train delays.
Because we are so desperate to finally get in the car by the time the train comes.
My. Send this wanker back to London, please, ASAP.
You like that wanker. You like that wanker line.
Well, because it fits him like a glove. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Neil in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Hi. I know you like to use money-taking agency, but it's more trouble ahead.
Ah, more trouble ahead.
Oh, that's good. Actually, that's a good one.
Yeah, because...
You can use that one, Curtis, now. Say more trouble ahead. Whenever there's a problem, say MTA, more trouble ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I
good
happen-
one, Neil. Love
right,
it.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
Neil's very happy with himself.
Hey, but you know,
Neil, you don't need anybody else around. You just entertain yourself.
Your own audience, Neil.
He's a stand-up comic. Neil is having a great time.
But, Neil, when I stand up near the motor guy or gal, and, you know, you can look through the glass and see where they're going, a lot of times I'll see green lights, and I'll say, well, how come you're not moving the train? And they'll say exactly that. More trouble ahead.
More trouble ahead.
They're on the radio.
Because they know. They can just use that line. It's every Neil, day is more trouble ahead.
Neil, have you ever done stand-up?
I know. Neil is great.
I'm pretty good at it. Actually, I met Jackie Mason once in Florida. Yeah,
I love Jackie.
I am surprised that you are not coming to Bernard
McGurk. That's what I was thinking.
And Sid Rosenbaum's Laugh Fest.
I get a little fear fright. I get that stage fright, you know. But
oh,
anyway.
No, you'd be great. Neil, you would be good. You could go behind a black curtain or something.
I met Jackie down there in January. That was a couple of years ago, and I came across. No one knew who he was. I said, Jackie Mason, what the hell are you doing here? And I said, that's right, it's January. Where else would a Jew be, you know?
That's right.
By the way, Neil, true story, when I first met Jackie Mason, Jackie said to me, I saw Jackie, I was actually in an elevator with Jackie, and Jackie said to me, asked me if I was single. And I said, who's asking? He said, he is. And I said, no, I have 20 kids and I'm married.
Right.
It's a good one.
And I did ask him a question.
I think we lost.
Oops, we lost Neil, and he was ready for a good joke.
Neil should go on the subway and actually test his lines out.
Actually, he's charming. It's nice to meet a happy person on the subway. That would be a rarity.
That's a vicious crowd. They're already late. So if your lines are not good, you don't give them a good belly laugh.
They're
going to throw you right off the train.
Well, he could have an acrobat with him. That would kind of, if he had an acrobat in the background doing like flips, that could be nice.
Let's go to Fred in Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Freddie.
Yeah, hello, Curtis. I'd like to give kudos to New York City's transit force. I'm a retired train operator, and my heart goes out to my fellow brothers and sisters that they got to work in that crummy environment down there, you know?
Well,
I really feel bad for them.
Actually, I feel bad for the guys and gals working down there, too. It's hard work.
I don't.
I know. You think they eat donuts all day.
Are you kidding, Fred? You know how much money they make per hour?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. They make more than college graduates make, Fred.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do. Plus no, they the benefits to boot. I mean, you're talking a boat full of benefits, Fred.
What kind of benefits are you talking about?
Health, welfare, dental, a vision, the whole 9 years. The whole nine yards.
Dental and vision ain't that great.
No. It's tough. It's like being in a coal mine, right, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a little parakeet.
Transit workers have the second highest rate of black lung disease behind coal mines.
By the way, I do believe that. That is tough work, Curtis. Curtis, that is tough work. For the guys and gals down there, would you want to sit there? Well, you've been on the subways a lot more than
so
I have.
So you sit on your tuchus.
But, oh, it's hard work for some of the guys and gals.
Up and back. You're getting paid close to $50 an hour. Yeah, that's tough work.
Yeah, but you got to deal with the...
And you're getting black
in
lung.
In your words, the gabones? Would you want
to
do that?
They don't have to deal with the gabones because they're locked in their little box.
They're banging on the windows all day long.
They don't come out.
I feel sorry for you workers at the MTA.
Yeah, good. So you can pay more of a fare because that's why they're going to claim they're raising the fare to sweeten up their paycheck even more. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates.
Welcome to
America. 12:40. And on Saturday, the government in Washington announced that immigrants who legally use public benefits like food assistance and Section 8 housing vouchers could be denied green cards under new rules aimed at keeping out people that the administration deems a drain on the country. They don't need to go through the House of Representatives or the Senate. They can impose these standards, which would be first ever. So immigrants who rely on public assistance for food and shelter will have to make a choice between accepting financial help from the government, which would rule you out of consideration for a green card. If you wanted a green card to live and work legally in the United States, you would have to forego all of those benefits, including the low-cost prescription drugs through Medicare Part D, and you could also be forced to stop participating in the popular benefits program of other health care initiatives that, if you were considered a legal resident status, it would be offered to you. But if you want a green card, you want to stay here permanently, you got to give up all the benefits. There were demonstrations across the nation against this yesterday. Listen to what some of the demonstrators were saying.
This rule is creating a really terrible choice for families. It means they have to decide between having a future path to status or putting food on their table or going to the doctor. It's going to force families into terribly difficult circumstances.
In fact, what they call that, the government is calling that, is if you receive benefits but you still want a green card, you are considered a public charge, and you would be ineligible for legal resident status with that green card if you take any of the different government programs that I suggested that are available to those who are here legally. Now, remember, they're not here illegally. They're here legally. It could be a student visa. It could be a work visa. It could be for another reason. They just don't have permanent status. Here was another demonstrator.
This rule would really target individuals in a way that we have started to see. It's like targeting people who are coming through sort of the means that have been laid out in law, and it really is attacking people sort of at all levels.
You know, Curtis, when I hear this, I say bravo, because I actually feel that barring extenuating circumstances, and again, those are people who would be seeking asylum because they're leaving a horrible, horrible situation. And I do think cases need to be evaluated if somebody is in dire death threats or living under horrible conditions and they're coming to this country for that reason. Why should we open up the floodgates? And when you look at the amount that is being paid, this is staggering, Curtis. They said that this plan would save taxpayers $2.7 billion annually. And it would also, I think, deter so many people who come here who think America is, you come here just for the freebies. I think we taxpayers shouldn't have to carry the burden. It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222.
Well, in fact, if you happen to be a refugee or qualify as an asylum seeker who enters our country, you will not be prevented from getting your green card, although you may be receiving these benefits in the interim, whether it's cash or other assistance given to the victims of natural disaster. That won't be held against you.
See, I'm okay with that. I think that those people absolutely should. But this, to just come here to this country and say, okay, well, we're going to take advantage of all these things that this country, housing, Section 8 housing, Medicare. I mean, there's so many of these things that I think we can't be the floodgates for everybody. And there's so many people who take advantage of it.
Well, the federal government is saying to the Trump administration that federal law has always required those seeking green cards to prove they won't be a burden to our financial system. It's just never been enforced. Let's go to Rose first up in the queue, calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, guys. I think there's a lot of mythology playing out here. The availability of federal housing is very, very limited. Speaking from the point of view of a disabled individual, you don't have an easy time getting benefits in this country. I think that it's a lot of hot air, and unfortunately, we have employers who go through various work agencies and build golf courses and, you know, provide help for hotels and this and that, that are really the responsible parties.
Hey, Rose, let me ask you, you're a legal resident, right? I mean, were you born in this country, or
yes,
what's your status?
Yes, I was, but I just happened to be blind, and I went blind, my sight was savable, but there was a lot of dithering around here in New Jersey, and I'm just telling you, it is not easy to get these benefits.
And let me tell you, Rose, as an American citizen, you should get it as an American citizen, Rose. I'm with you.
But you are treated as if you're not entitled. You know, that word entitlement steps in. And, you know, you go blind, and then all of a sudden, oh, they're scratching their heads. My point is this, that it's very difficult for a U.S.-born person to get benefits and to promote the idea that, oh, well, you know, they're all come here and taking, is just another trick.
Well, I disagree, Rose. First of all, I will say that I do think somebody, especially an American citizen, and as you point out with your disability, you should be getting, and it shouldn't be as difficult as it is for you. But there are people who abuse the system. You're obviously not one of them, but there are a lot who are.
Well, remember, we have American citizens who work at Walmart, work at Amazon, where they poorly pay their workers so badly that they have to go on social assistance in order to survive.
And in Rose's case with a disability,
food stamps.
I mean, that it should not be through hoops for her to get it. I agree with her on that issue.
But as I have always said, most of the people who come here legally and overstay their visa. We always like to focus on the border, them coming illegally. Most of those who end up becoming illegally do so by first coming legally with a visa, staying here, and then obviously they'll try to get the benefits in the interim as they plot their strategy towards getting a green card and staying here permanently.
Well, that's why I say those who do that, whether it comes through the border or through that means, Curtis, I do think we have to evaluate people who abuse the system.
I
because
understand,
there are
but
so
we don't
many.
Do anything to track visa visitors.
Well,
we don't
and,
do anything.
And there's been a lot of them. I mean,
and
look, the
that's
perfect
where
example
most of the illegals
was,
come from.
Well, Boston Marathon bombing. It was the guys, they had student visas, remember? I mean, there's so many of those cases, but there are a lot of border issues too, believe me.
Yeah, but nobody wants to talk about that. 1-800-848-WABC. They just want to talk about ditch diggers coming across the border from Mexico.
Yeah, because you're going to go back to the agriculture thing, which is an interesting point too. I'm with you.
It's easier to attack the people who come here across the border as opposed to those who get a visa, then they stay here, they overstay the visa, and we don't go after them.
Right, but if they apply for a green card, now that could change.
1-800-848-WABC. You sound like they're going to pursue them. They're not.
Well, we'll see.
Let's go to John in New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Johnny.
Hey, Curtis, how you guys doing today?
We're good. What do you think, Johnny?
Listen, if you're in the country with a visa or illegally, there's no way you should be able to get any kind of assistance, for crying out loud. Of course not. But if you are here legally, or if something happened and you really need it, you had into an accident or something, and that is to be seen. But other than that, and believe me, listen, there are a lot of people that are getting government assistance that are not from Latin America. They are from all over the world.
Oh, I know.
That,
You're
that
right.
Is almost, unheard of. You know, they only talk about the people from Latin America.
Yeah, that's all they do. They moan and groan about brown people from south of the border, Mexico, El Salvador, the Central American country. We don't talk about the Poles, the Irish,
Ukrainians,
so
Russians.
Many others who come in here illegally, all the Asians, the rich Asians who come in and pop their babies here as anchor babies and pay extraordinarily money to do that, to bribe officials. Nah, we don't talk about that.
But there's
just
not too many.
The ditch diggers.
Well, and by the way, there are not that many Poles, and there's not that many from some of these countries.
A ton of illegal Poles. A ton of illegal
many.
Irish. A ton. They don't go after them.
Yeah, but they need to go after everybody. But there's others well beyond Poles and Irish.
Let's go to Herbie calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Herbie.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. I'm a sanitation man who retired. I bought a building, a 16th family, and one of my tenants, for 4 years and 3 years in a row, I have it 4 years, 3 years in a row, he leaves, he goes back to Egypt. And he has another family come in during July and August, and the woman's always pregnant. She has the baby, and then they leave.
Ah, the old American getting to be an American citizen trick.
I think so. I don't know. But there's something fishy about this.
Well, Herbie, imagine if he is a practicing Muslim and claims that he is entitled to have four wives, which could lead to four different families. What do you then say to him? You're not entitled to bring your four wives here?
I'm not saying anything to
no,
him.
No, I'm just saying, but look at it. Look how you could abuse the system by bringing four different families over here if you declare this is part of your religious belief system. You're already married. You already have children with all four women.
She has three kids. She has three kids. And they asked me for a letter last year to write everybody down. I put him down as his name. They're not married, but that is his husband and wife. He tells me, oh, my wife, she's going to have another baby. They had another baby here in the meantime, but they don't use the married name.
So, wait, Herb, do you think it's a big old scam?
Yes. I think there's something wrong with this picture.
Well, there are a lot of people who do that, Herbie.
How does he pay, Herbie, how does he pay your rent to you?
A check.
Okay, so is he gainfully employed as far as you know? I mean, you did a background check on him, right, before you rented him?
No, I didn't. I inherited him.
Oh,
he inherited him. Herbie.
And he's the worst tenant in the world. 2 years ago, I had to stop him from peeing down a hole. He lives on the fourth floor, peeing down a hole to his tenant to the third floor. Because the tenant was making too much noise. And he thought it was a joke.
Oh, Herbie.
Can you imagine?
Herbie, it sounds like you're on a subway.
Well, hey, look, that's a lot different than just banging on the floor or the ceiling, depending on where your neighbor lives, because they're blasting their music or making too much noise.
Is that what's called a golden shower,
exactly.
Sort of? Oh, gross.
Just pee on the floor and it'll drip down.
Oh, disgusting. Herbie, we're going to keep you in our prayers, my
1-800.
Friend.
1-800-848-WABC.
Here on 77 WABC, you're listening to Curtis and Cosby. Well, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says that he could not have done these things that he's been accused of because he says he was a virgin then and for many years after that, which I think is a little hard to believe when you hear about all the party time that him and this guy, Mark Judge, clearly had.
He was on the Georgetown Prep football team. He was captain of the basketball team.
But that doesn't mean what I give credence to is the fact that his buddy, Mark Judge, wrote a book called Wasted about a guy named Bardo Kavanaugh, a fictional character who was puking all over the place.
You know how jocks were in high school. So imagine a football player, captain of the basketball team.
Maybe he was saving himself for someone special.
Well, probably. And naturally getting drunk on the weekends, which was part of what he wrote about in his own yearbook page. I cannot, this choir boy attitude, instead of just saying, yeah, I lived a normal life of any normal young guy, yeah, I was looking for sex. You know, I was looking for girlfriends. I was looking to drink. I was having a great time playing basketball, football, academically. Right. And then everybody could say, okay, I understand that. But to suggest that, well, could I hear him describe how he was a virgin until when?
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter. And the girls from the schools I went to and I were friends.
So you're saying that all through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin?
That's correct.
So, Lewis, when he said that, first of all, it's a little weird to be sitting there. I did think some of his answers were canned. And I thought this is the only part where I thought, okay, he's kind of at least confessing that he did have a good time, because his buddy clearly has said he had a good time.
Yes, there were parties, and the drinking age was 18, and yes, the seniors were legal and had beer there. And yes, people might have had too many beers on occasion, and people generally in high school, I think all of us have probably done things we look back on in high school and regret or cringe a bit. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an allegation of sexual assault.
Yeah, and so he made it sound, when he was asked about that, the virgin thing. Now, here's Curtis. This is really interesting. And this is where he said there is no gray area in terms of that he ever crossed the line with any women.
The truth is, I've never sexually assaulted anyone in high school or otherwise. I am not questioning and have not questioned that perhaps Dr. Ford at some point in her life was sexually assaulted by someone in some place. But what I know is I've never sexually assaulted anyone.
So he is unequivocal, and that's when he got into the virgin line. So to me, it's
virginity has nothing to do with sexual harassment or sexual assault.
No, but he used that as an example of saying, and that's why, like, at first I was like, is he getting into the definition of is's bit? Because that's whole Clinton thing was.
If we believe that he mounted this girl, put his hands over her mouth to muffle her screams, and dry-humped her, because that's what he was doing, and trying to pull her clothes off, if we believe that.
Yeah, then he is still a virgin. Right. It doesn't. That's why I'm saying to you, is he getting into this?
Right.
But that's assault.
And
that is assault.
Basically, it's intercourse.
If true.
So all of the matters of sex, pleasurizing and gratification, he could have had. See, he's parsing language here. I was a virgin. Well, do you have oral sex? Because according to Bill Clinton and the Southern Boys, you know, oral sex and not sex.
That's why I thought he was going into the definition. But let's go back to that sexual assault one. Let's go back to that one, because this is where he said he never crossed the line.
The truth is, I've never sexually assaulted anyone in high school or otherwise. I am not questioning and have not questioned that perhaps Dr. Ford at some point in her life was sexually assaulted by someone in some place. But what I know is I've never sexually assaulted anyone.
So that is clearly, clearly direct, where he says he never crossed the line, because what you're talking about, Curtis, obviously fits that. Now, by the way, I want to put it out here to our callers. Does anybody think that he was kind of playing with words? At first, I thought that's where he was going when he said the virgin comment. But then when he went to the sexual assault, he leaves no gray area there.
So,
and that's why that, to me,
but I'd like
is
to know
very
if
definitive.
Anybody believes that this guy was a virgin until he was in graduate school.
Well,
that's what he seemed to imply.
Well, he implied, actually, Curtis, beyond that.
Beyond that,
because when he said, on the virgin line, let's play the virgin one again, because that's why I thought that was interesting. Because he said, beyond. Let's listen to that again.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter. And the girls from the schools I went to and I were friends.
So you're saying that all through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin?
That's correct.
And he says, for many years thereafter, it's a very different picture than this Boosie guy,
Why does he keep trying to play choir boy? If you look at his own Georgetown Prep yearbook page, and this is what he defines. He was part of this group that apparently was either dating this young lady, Ms. Dolphin, or having sex with her or thinking they had sex with her.
This is the third one now.
Right.
The dolphin one is the third one.
These are all guys who were on the football team. They took a football team picture and they said, you know, Miss Dolphin. Now, he claims he dated her one time and kissed her goodnight. And then Ms. Dolphin responded, I never kissed that guy.
Yeah, there's all this weird gray area.
Well, I know guys up stuff. I mean, remember, in high school, guys, if you were to listen to guys,
right,
they would have been like, oh, my God, they were bedding down girls every day, and you found out that, in fact, they were just poo-putts. They weren't.
But they were bragging
about things that never existed.
But the issue is, Curtis, is all the booze stuff. Like it doesn't reconcile with... and listen, the guys that were the big boozos in my school were also the guys who were extremely aggressive.
Well, of course.
And that's why it doesn't.
Your inhibitions.
Right. It doesn't reconcile with, you know, I understand why you would never want to say, okay, I've ever sexually assaulted someone. I understand why he's closing the door on that. But like you said, to make it sound like, oh my gosh, all I did was, you know, have tea and crumpets and maybe had one or two beers, when you have your best buddy, Mark Judge, who is going on and on and on about what a boozo.
Masturbation classes. So all these guys, these friends, would masturbate together.
Now,
I understand that's not sexual intercourse. But, hey, that would imply that you were hot to trot.
Yeah.
That you had to whip your thing out right there in front of other guys and get off.
Well, that's what it's weird. I mean, listen, we still sometimes maybe people are boozos and they're don't doing it. Most of the people that I went to school when they were boozos, you know, cross the line.
1-800-848-WABC. The virgin himself, Kavanaugh, probably until about the age of what, 24, 25?
It sounds like age 45.
Let's go to Alex first up in the queue in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Alex?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you think of Kavanaugh? And I'm also a big believer in sort of watching body language. And he looked very kind of rehearsed.
Well, what I think is these women are coming out 15, 20 years later. I have two daughters of my own. And, you know, God forbid something like this were to happen. They should report it right away. Any woman should report it right away.
So, but, Alex, you know that doesn't happen. You know that.
Yeah, but you don't wait 15, 20 years to come back, you know?
Well, I do. I wish they had reported it then. But don't you think there's a lot of people that don't report it, Alex? Don't you think?
I mean, it might, but three, maybe one, but three. And this guy was a judge. So they had to do background checks and stuff on him.
Yeah, hey, but wait, Alex. The background checks are very brief when you're moving up the federal list of judicial positions. It only gets really serious if you're considered for the United States Supreme Court.
Where I think he is lying is that he was a virgin all that time.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Well, why even bother saying that, Alex? Nobody believes that.
Yeah, that was weird, Alex. It makes you wonder, like, what's going on. You know, the other thing, too, that's just come out, Curtis, in just a little bit, the attorney for the first accuser has said, and this actually, I think, helps Kavanaugh, because this is, I think, a bit of hogwash on the other end. She's just come out, Curtis, and said her attorney sent a letter about this big hearing on Thursday, which we've all been waiting for, and now this hearing now is coming into doubt again. She's saying that she doesn't basically appreciate the comments by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who was on the floor recently and just said that Democrats are waging a smear campaign. They've been saying that from the beginning. But now the attorney for the first accuser is basically saying, I don't like that. Maybe now he's going to use that as an excuse to not have her testify. If she does not testify Thursday and uses this hogwash as an excuse, that, I think, casts a lot of doubt on her.
Nah, this is all playing out. It's all a game.
Yeah, but that's what. But I'm saying, if she is a genuine accuser, then the fact that you're making it up like it's Mitch McConnell's
never says anything.
But everybody's saying that.
He's drunk on bourbon. He should have shut his mouth, just like the president should shut his mouth. Let this just play out. Let the American public see Kavanaugh there, accuser number one. Accuser number two, accuser number three.
Yeah, there's
even
more.
Even Kellyanne Conway said, let accuser number two, the gal that he went to school at Yale with, let her come in Let her testify. Let's be done with it.
And but give it a time frame.
See for itself.
But give it a time frame.
I know,
because if you give it this endless
Mitch
thing,
McConnell,
you know,
has to grandstand. This guy who's like drunk as a skunk.
But everybody is grandstanding,
yeah,
and I think she is clearly using this
as an
excuse. If she uses this as an excuse to back out,
no,
then that to me casts doubt on her.
Didn't that strategy work the first time?
Well, temporarily.
But you
can't endlessly go, okay, you know, come on.
Hogwash. What did Grassley say? Oh, it's going to be on Monday or forget about it. Then it was Thursday. And you can elongate it
further.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Are we going to be in like 2020?
And then Avenatti is going to have his client say things, incredible things, you know, tomorrow.
Yes, he's saying
that's
that
gonna
he
muck up the waters
has
even
someone.
More.
And he said he has someone, Curtis, and he has someone to
Just
corroborate it.
Shut up. You're not going to. Mitch McConnell. It's going to sway public opinion? Really? Who the hell listens to Mitch McConnell?
Curtis, you're sounding like Maisie Hirono, that woman from Hawaii.
Mitch McConnell would do best to shut his mouth because he can't even understand what the hell the guy is garbling.
But this is hogwash. If she is using this as like as if it's some new epiphany, that's ridiculous.
Well,
it's 1-800-848-9222.
Even again, let's go to Marie calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis. And Rita Cosby here on WABC. Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Yes. Hi, guys. Listen, I just have a couple of things to say, and I'm going to say them really quick because I know you don't have enough time. First of all, this guy was investigated 6 times by the FBI, right?
Again.
Yes.
It was.
Okay. But they don't ask this stuff.
Okay. To be a justice, I think they're going to do a big investigation on this guy. That's the first thing.
No, not to be a normal federal judge at any level. It's not a big investigation.
You know what I mean. Okay, number two. After everything that's been done with the Justice Department and the FBI, after everything they did to Trump, everything they did to him.
Forget that. Well, I asked a simple question, Marie. Do you believe he was a virgin until he was 25 or 26?
Okay, excuse me. Oh, wait. After everything they did, you don't think they're trying to do something?
No, Marie, answer the question. Do you believe he was a virgin until he was 25 or 26?
Okay, that's my next point.
Go to it now.
What makes you such an expert, Curtis?
Oh, I'm a guy.
Tell everybody.
I'm a guy. I played football. I played basketball. I've been at drunken parties. And I'm telling you, this guy who was involved in this activity at Georgetown Prep and then at Yale, and you're telling me he was a virgin until graduate school?
Do you know?
Oh, please. Murray, how naive. Oh.
We don't know, by the way.
Raise your hands if you think that Kavanaugh was a virgin until graduate school.
I'm not raising my hands.
He's knocking shots back.
Well, that's
with this Ramirez girl, right? They're stone drunk out of their minds.
Well, you're leaving out the Mark Judge. Where I actually cast out is not because of the others, because it is this one. It's a she. But when you got Mark Judge writing a book saying that he's wasted, that's where I have the problem.
Of the basketball team in high school,
you could still be a virgin.
Girls are all over you.
Do you think girls were all over him? It's not like to me. It's not like
what did he go to? Brigham Young University?
He's not Chris Helmsworth.
What is he, a woman?
He's not Tom Cruise.
Was he Mitt Romney?
He's not Tom Cruise.
He's a drunken Catholic high school guy. Come on. 1-800.
He put it this way. If he wasn't friends with Mark Judge, I would maybe say he's a virgin.
Wait,
Mark Judge kills him.
Here's Bob. Bob, you believe he's a virgin, right, Bob?
Yeah, I'd say yeah. So I'll tell you why, because the man's not stupid. There's no reason for him to make a comment like that can be easily disproved.
What high school did you go to, Bob?
Me? I went to high school on Long Island.
Okay. If a guy played football, was the captain of the basketball team, and went to parties every weekend where everybody got drunk, boys and girls together, what's the likelihood that he remained a virgin until he was in graduate school?
Not likely, but what's
okay.
The likelihood
why would he say something like that, Bob? Why would he say something like that that defies logic? Nobody expected him to be a virgin until graduate school. Why would he say
that's
that?
That's my point.
It's not a requirement to be a United States Supreme Court judge because he's embellishing. He's going over the top. He's making it. He's trying to make it appear he's a choir boy. He's
maybe
not.
He is Tim Tebow. We don't know. Maybe he's Tim Tebow.
Who's
part two.
Who's Tim Tebow going out with now? Miss Universe?
Yeah, Tim Tebow though.
Yeah,
was saving himself.
Yeah, we believe he's a virgin. He's not married to her.
The only reason I have a problem with the Kavanaugh, I think you could be all the other stuff. The fact is the two words, Mark Judge, Mr. Buzo.
Mark Judge.
If you didn't hang around Buzos, I'd say, well, maybe he could have been saving himself.
Football,
but he's got a lot of Buzos.
Basketball makes him a jock. Drinking
could
beer
still be a
every
virgin.
Weekend. Drunken parties.
That's
boys
where
and
I give
girls
the X. That's
drunk.
Where I give the X.
Come on, he's no virgin. 1-800-848-WABC. Kavanaugh said he was a virgin last night in defense of his character on Fox News Channel. What say you, Marco, in the Bronx? Welcome to WABC.
Hi, Marco.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just want to make a point that maybe I haven't heard before, but can we all agree that he did better in life than 99% of the people, I would think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did well.
Now, with that said, he's a virgin all that time because he was studying.
Marco, you're kidding me, right? You got a great sense of humor.
He was studying.
Marco, he obviously, Marco. I will say he's a brilliant man. He is, obviously, to get to the level of success. He clearly is a smart guy. But you don't hang around Buzo, Mark Judge, and write all the stuff in your yearbook if you're not party time. Come on, Marco.
All right.
Marco, do you believe that he's like Mother Teresa? Come on.
No, of course not.
So why did he even say that last night? He didn't need to say that. Nobody was asking, gee, you know, I hope the guy was a virgin.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it was so weird. I've done a lot of interviews, you know, with officials.
Maybe,
I don't think I've ever asked, are you a virgin,
I'll give
Curtis?
Him one, I'll
I don't
give him
think
one
I
reason,
ever
Marco.
Have.
His wife was sitting right next to him. Who knows? His wife probably doesn't know a lot of stuff.
You got to believe him. You got to believe him.
Yeah.
Well, he may not have done this, but I
right.
don't believe he was
exactly.
a virgin until then.
Exactly. Marco, you continue to believe that the reason he climbed the ladder is he was so studious. And I'll tell you, because he was a social climber and a networker and became politically connected to the Bushies. And that's how he rose up the ladder.
Well, he's also a smart guy. Listen, he did go to decent schools. He went to Yale. Come on. He's not a dumbo.
You're
making it sound like, you know, like what he slept his way to the top.
You got to have those political contacts,
yes.
Because if you don't have a rabbi promoting you internally, mm-hmm. you can't do it from the outside looking in, no matter how smart you are
and
or
listen,
how bright you are.
He was well known. I know Brett Kavanaugh. I knew him, you know, when I was in Washington.
Yeah,
there's no
gin
question.
Mills. They know him at all the gin mills in Georgetown.
I didn't meet him at the gin mill. I think I saw him at the White House. That's a little different. Depending on the day, it might have been the gin mill, but it wasn't that time.
1-800-848-WABC.
Get crazy, get wild, let's party, get loud. If you want to have fun, to do something. If you want to have fun, to
Georgetown
do something.
Prep.
Get crazy, get
yeah.
wild, let's party,
Who's
get
parties
loud.
Every weekend? Kavanaugh on the football team, captain of the basketball team. But oh, he didn't have sex until he was in graduate school. You expect us to believe that? What a Pinocchio.
But by the way, and everybody stay tuned because coming up at 2 o'clock, we're going to be giving you, and you guys will be the first ones to hear, we have a very cool event. It is our next Pubs in Politics. And we're going to be sharing all the details for you guys first. We're going to do that in the 2 o'clock hour. We have some amazing guests and you don't want to miss it. Another great live event at the Cutting Room on October 22nd. So stay tuned. Curtis and I will be there and a whole bunch of other cool guests. And we're going to talk about that. And by the way, in just the last few minutes, Curtis, President Trump has come out and he has been blasting. He was at the UN here in New York. Talking about, you know, America first, all that other stuff, just came out and just really went after the second accuser of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, saying she was totally inebriated, all messed up. But Michael Avenatti enters the wing again. This is, of course, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, the ever-present Michael Avenatti, who we had here on the show. And Michael Avenatti says he has accuser number three coming up. This is what he had to say.
We're going to make a public disclosure within the next 48 hours of detailed allegations, as well as the identity of at least one of my clients relating to what she witnessed and experienced concerning Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. And ultimately, we're going to let the American public decide who's telling the truth.
Oh, man.
It's going to be the... And he says he's got somebody else who, in addition to this person, he said he's got a corroborating person.
Well, he always delivers the goods.
Well, a couple times he said that he had other Stormy Daniels types, and he even admitted last night that he made some allegations that he said he couldn't back up because he didn't feel comfortable with their credibility. But he said that in this case, he said he has somebody else and someone who can corroborate it. And in the meantime, Curtis, not too far from us. I mean, at Yale, they have canceled some classes because there are protesters there who are supporting these women. And that's taken place all over the country, including in D.C. and elsewhere. Take a listen. Wow. So what's going to happen?
I hear Dante's voice in there. Dante de Blasio, the mayor's son who goes to Yale.
You mean his hair popping through the crowd?
Exactly.
The
big... So I want to find out how many of you are so gullible to believe, as Kavanaugh said last night on the Fox News channel, and nobody was expecting this, that it couldn't happen because he was a virgin until about graduate school.
And does anybody believe that also, as we're looking at Avenatti, that Avenatti is going to have someone else? And if indeed, let's put it also, if Avenatti does this time have the goods, if he does have another woman, and apparently it's somebody who has a security clearance, I think it's somebody who worked at like the U.S. Mint.
They'll postpone the area again.
Is it going to happen Thursday or not? It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222.
Let's go to Maureen in Yorktown. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Maureen.
Hi, Curtis and Rita. It's Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. I'm originally from the Bronx, born and raised, moved up to Yorktown. I'm from a big Irish family, married a guy. I'm from Fordham, big Irish family. And I just want to say there are guys and there are girls that do stay virgins until their 20s and their mid-20s. And they could be the cool guys. And they
Tim
could
be, Tebow. You know, Tim Tebow.
Exactly.
This is no Tim Tebow. Kavanaugh is no Tim Tebow. He's not a religious type.
He's not, but he's a shy guy. He was raised in what seems to me like with nice parents. And you know what?
What does having nice parents have to do with being a virgin until you're in graduate school?
There are virgins. You don't believe there's any virgins in graduate school?
You're not living with your parents any longer when you're in graduate school. Yeah, he was at Yale. He was away from home.
But I do believe there are some Yalies who are virgins.
Come on, Maureen. You don't buy this crap, do you?
There are Yalies that are virgins.
Get out of here.
Oh, come on. Maureen, don't you? There are virgins. What I don't buy in this case is his boozy friends and these boozy entries.
I want to hear from Maureen.
Clearly,
Rita,
it was.
I've heard from you.
Clearly,
and
I've heard from you.
No. She's Irish. She's Roman Catholic. She fits the bill. You
all right,
don't.
Let's hear.
I don't. Explain how
hey,
this
I'm
is
Catholic.
A possibility,
I'm
Maureen.
Catholic. I'm just not Irish Catholic. Go ahead, Maureen.
Okay, but you know what? There are girls that are very beautiful, and there are guys that are so handsome, and so what they decide to do is fine. But when you are shy about yourself, when you're studious, when you're raised with parents who say you should wait until you fall in love, sometimes you just don't want to do it just to do it. You want to wait until you have a relationship.
See, Maureen, there are. I agree. And hold on a second, Curtis. There are people like that.
You're agreeing with her. I'm a disagree with her. Let me have a conversation with Maureen.
All right, go ahead.
I was up in the Bronx with a lot of Irish folks in Norwood.
You don't believe there's any virgins out there.
They would get drunk as skunks at the bar, and the next thing that you know, they'd be necking in the back, and they'd be fornicating and copulating, Maureen.
Well, those are the people you hang out with, Curtis.
Bravo!
All of them went to Catholic school, Maureen.
Bravo.
All of them went to Catholic school.
Maureen, bravo, bravo.
Let's
because
go to John.
There are nice people
get
out there,
out of
Curtis.
Here. What are you talking
just because you
about?
Grew up on the streets, there are nice
what
people
do you mean,
out
streets?
There.
These are Catholic school kids who go to Catholic high schools.
I know Catholic boys who did save themselves,
yeah, I'm
Curtis.
Sure. Meantime, they
but
were
they
going
didn't
to...
write about boozos.
And masturbation classes?
They didn't write about that either.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. And welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Johnny?
Hi, Johnny.
It's John. I'm from Brooklyn. I called once before. But there is no way Kavanaugh could not be, that he has to be a virgin. Because if some girl comes up and says that he was having a good time with me.
Oh, he's done.
He's done.
He's done. That's why, you know what, John? That's why what he said is very dangerous, because when you close the door like that, he's done if it comes out that they can prove an assault, and he's done if they can prove that somebody said, no, I lost my virginity to him when he was 17 and I was 15. I agree with you.
That's a double-edged sword he's playing with. He's too smart a man to play that game. He got on national TV. He said one thing, and I'm telling you, I believe him. You know, it's a red tape, captain of the football team, like you say, Curtis.
Yeah, yeah, and he was a virgin until graduate school.
Yeah, but I got to tell you something, you know. I think back to when I was younger. You know, through all high school, I was working in apartment buildings. Through all the college, I was working in apartment buildings. I was in the Army Reserves. I had a lot of trouble dating girls, so I didn't have the time.
Yeah, but were you always that? John, were you captain of the basketball team?
No, I was not.
All right, were you a member of, wait a second, hold on a second. Were you a member of the football team, John?
I was on the football team.
Okay, so you were a jock. So you probably were sitting on the bench. Getting too many splinters in your tuchus.
He was too busy. By the way, there are a lot of people who stayed virgin through high school and grad school, not by choice.
Yeah, well, let's face it. Kavanaugh was piss drunk half the time.
Yeah,
probably
but he's not Tom Cruise. He's not Tom Cruise, baby.
Let's go to Rocco calling from Bayside. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Rocco.
Curtis, how you doing, buddy? How you doing, Rita?
Good. How you doing?
All right. I love you guys. I just want to say I love you, first of all. You guys are great.
Listen, thank you.
To that guy over there who called before saying that he was so-called studying, yeah, sure. when the Pope comes to see me tomorrow, I'll believe that. It's crap. It's all crap, man. All right. I did my I never studied in school. And if a girl came over to study, we would study each other.
Wait, but Rocco, I see, let me tell you this. There are people who all they do is study. I know there were a number of virgins, I'm sure, at my school, but they weren't partying out with a guy named Mark Judge getting tanked every weekend, according to his friends. You know, usually the nerds sort of stayed together. That's where I have the problem. If all his buddies were saying the same thing, then maybe I would believe him, you know?
Yeah.
There are a couple versions. I actually respect people who save themselves,
you
know?
Me too.
Yeah, but, Rocco, yeah, you too. Meantime, the girl would come over to study and you'd be studying her anatomy, right?
Right, yeah.
Right, everything, you'd be playing doctor, right? You would be playing doctor.
I like Rocco.
Everything under the sun, baby.
Yeah. But Rocco still sounds like a gentleman, and that's nice.
Medical school training. Anyway, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Hackensack. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Good afternoon. Well, Rita just said what I had said, which was basically he may have remained a virgin, but not by choice.
Right. I mean, there are a couple people, believe me, that were virgins. I think they're still virgins in their 40s and 50s, not by choice.
You're darn right.
Now, why? Why do you say he would have remained a virgin? If he was trying to score?
Well, there's some people that just aren't very good around the opposite sex, and he seems to be that kind of person. But I do agree with you, Curtis, that his background being popular and being in sports should have negated that. But, you know, there are guys that, for some reason, they just freeze when they're trying to talk to a woman.
Yeah, maybe he has, you know, maybe he needs M-Drive or has some physical thing. You know, you never know.
Remember, Jack, we're looking at him now while he's sober. At the times in question, he had been drinking.
You believe he was never sober up until this interview
on the weekends.
Time, right?
No, the way he writes and his friends write is that weekend was party time. I'm sure he was sober when he played football or basketball.
By the way, I mean, based on the way this Mark Judge is talking, I'm not sure if he was sober during the week either. If you listen to Mark Judge.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt he was sober during the week, but weekends, it was football, basketball, and party time.
Maybe he passed out so much and that's how he stayed a virgin.
Could have been.
You know?
Blackouts, 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. As Kavanaugh claimed on the Fox News channel last night, he couldn't have done any of the things he's accused of because he was a virgin until about graduate school. Let's go to Leo in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Leo?
Hey, Curtis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Listen, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I got to actually agree with you. You know, Kavanaugh is an ugly bastard, so I believe he could have been a virgin up until graduate school.
That's agreeing with me. Curtis thinks there's no way.
No, but I agree with Curtis, because I went to parochial school in the 80s, and I got to admit, it was insanity. It was pure insanity.
Yeah.
If you played any type of sport, if you did anything, the girls would go wild, the guys would go nuts. Also, you got to remember, back in the 80s, there was a little bit more life in the city.
Yeah, and also, Leo, the rule in a Catholic school, if you had an affiliation with a female Catholic school, was anything would go except intercourse. So a lot of oral sex, because you couldn't get pregnant that way.
Boy, you went to party time. I was on the better
so critical because they didn't use contraceptives.
Curtis, you're 100% right. I'm telling you, it was nothing but partying. So all the people that are calling up saying, oh, no, he couldn't.
Think there's ever a guy who could be a virgin through? Is that just impossible?
It's the guys who decided they want to become priests, right, and brothers, and then they ended up chasing little boys once they got out of the seminary.
Oh, so that explains it all. Now we've got the solution there, Curtis.
All right. That's what happened. The guys who went to the seminary said, hey, you know something? Something wrong with that guy.
Oh, my God. Coming up, we're going to tell you about our big event on October 22nd. You don't want to miss it. .207 here on 77 WABC. And soon we're going to give you some details on a big event that we're going to have, another Pubs and Politics taking place in New York with me and Curtis. And we have some very, very cool guests. But speaking of, I think it's such a weird, as we're talking about all the Brett Kavanaugh, Curtis, and all the like sexual stuff and all this other kooky stuff. Well, now we are finding out that Asia Argento, she is the woman, she was the second wife of Anthony Bourdain, of course, parts unknown, very well known, who killed himself tragically and was obviously very deeply depressed. Now we're finding out that she had what she calls basically a very open relationship, because people were coming down on her because it turns out that she was fooling around on him, including with a young co-star who was 17 when she was 37 at the time. And she said that in her first interview that people are going after her saying, look, I murdered him. I killed Anthony Bourdain. And she says, we had basically a very sort of fluid relationship that we both were able to kind of hang around and fool around with other people.
People need to think that he killed himself for something like this. He had cheated on me too. It wasn't a problem with us. He was a man who traveled 265 days a year. When we saw each other, we took really great pleasure in each other's presence. But we are not children. I cannot think of Anthony as somebody who would do an extreme gesture like this or something like that.
So in order to somehow shield herself from possibly being the reason that he decided to hang himself in his hotel room, she said they had an open relationship and they openly cheated on one another when they were away from one another, which was most of the time. Okay, I'm looking at her. I could say, yep. I'm looking at him. I could say easily, even though these two were in the forefront of the Me Too movement, both of them chastising men who had crossed the line time and time again, not just Argento, but also Anthony Bourdain. He would actually go out of his way to lambaste guys. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you, the best has to do with that 17-year-old boy that she had sex with, Jimmy Bennett.
Yeah, who, by the way, it's not, as he describes it, a consensual. And that's what makes this so, it's interesting, as we're talking about the whole Me Too era, and there are many women who have very legitimate claims. Here she was, the face of the Me Too movement, one of the faces, along with Rose McGowan and all these others. And she's coming out, and it turns out that this guy, who is 17, and she knew him from when he was even much younger, and as we were talking about guys not looking like Tom Cruise, this guy looks like Andy Warhol with his big hair and his white hair and his pink hair. He looks like he's electrocuted, like Back to the Future, Curtis. He's like a mini Back to the Future, crazy scientist type guy. He's claiming that she crossed the line with him. She totally took advantage of him. And so much so that even Argento originally agreed to a $380,000 settlement with this guy, Jimmy Bennett. So it's not like she clearly wanted to keep him quiet, and he says she took advantage of me. So it just shows the hypocrisy and so many of the gray lines
the
here.
The idiocy of this kid, Bennett, although he's now obviously older than 17 at the time of the so-called urge to merge that he had at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Marina del Rey in Los Angeles, is that he went on Italian TV to tell his story. The audience is filled with Italians who love Asia Argento.
And who love to kind of fool around a little bit, too.
Right.
It's not like the Italians are like, you know, there are some Tim Tebows,
right,
as we're getting to, but most of them are not.
Right, so the Walter Cronkite of Italy, the top interviewer, has Bennett on the stage.
Walter Cronchettini.
Right, and he's saying, explain to me how you were victimized, how you were traumatized. You mean to tell me a beautiful Italian actress came on to you in a hotel room in Los Angeles, and this has traumatized you for life? You haven't been able to succeed beyond your wildest expectations, and you're putting it all based on what happened that one night at the Ritz-Carlton when you claim that she sexually assaulted you. And naturally, he went into his whole routine of how he's been traumatized. It's held him back. He hasn't been a success in his career.
Now, Curtis, also, he said the first thing that happened was she offered me champagne. And then she played music on a record player. She was smoking cigarettes. And then afterwards, smoked cigarettes.
Oh, that would have been it. I would have been out of it. She's smoking cigarettes. Like, lady, see you later. I don't care how drop dead gorgeous you are. I'm out of here.
Oh, wait. So you do have limits.
Oh,
the
God.
Cigarettes.
Don't
would have
like
been,
the cigarettes.
I'm not, by the way, I'm not a cigarette fan either.
Right. And then afterwards, after they have sex, now he's describing how she pushed him on a bed. This is after they were kissing.
By the way, for hours on end.
Right, but he explained that the reason he didn't interrupt the kissing with Asia Argento is he thought it was cultural for the Italians to kiss on the lips, so he didn't want to upset Asia Argento. So the host says, well, you said you were kissing for a half hour. He said, yeah, but I didn't want to insult her. You know, I've seen so many Italians, when they get together, all they do is kiss each other on the lips.
It was role playing.
Right,
that's
so,
what it was. It
so,
was role playing.
Right. So he said, well, what else happened? He goes, well, she pushed me on the bed. She took my belt off. She took my pants off. She mounted me and she forced me to have sex against my will. And the host says, wait a second. Afterwards, I see you took a picture together. You're in, like,
smiling.
Bliss.
By the way, the picture looks like the happiest couple. I mean, that's the only thing that's weird about this, Curtis. I mean, there's a lot of things that are weird, all right? But the one thing that is weird is he first met her in 04 when he was 7 years old.
Oh,
so I want to put it out to the callers. The only thing where I go, wait a minute, there is, I mean, first of all, it is yucky because she kind of played his mom in all these different movies. So he sort of saw her as a mom figure. And they did know each other from when he was very young.
That.
So that's
she
the, it
mentored
is,
him.
Yeah,
she
it's this mentor him. Young child thing. That's where it's weird. But and so maybe this is where this is one exception. But when you look at that picture, it's like, yeah, it's like the happy couple. And he it sounds like it went on and on and on.
He said to the audience, the Italian audience, you know, the reason I went to the Ritz-Carlton is she had a possibility for me to be in an Italian film with her. And I didn't want to give up that opportunity because my career as an actor was sort of like half and half, you know, hot and cold.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with him going to the hotel room. And I
well,
and that's
no,
where,
no. He says he went with a chaperone.
Yeah.
But then
Asia
Argento was so angry at the chaperone. She said, get out of here. I want to talk to the kid and the kid alone.
And I want to smoke cigarettes and have champagne.
Have champagne and have wild, uncontrolled sex with him.
So let me put it out to the callers. Do you guys think, is there something we're missing here? I mean, there was a mentor, you know, young kid relationship. So that's the yucky part. And that's where maybe, I mean, look, she clearly crossed the line.
Well, to me, though.
But you're really, saying he deserves a statue.
He tells the Italian audience, remember, this is packed with women and men, mostly women in the audience. that, oh, yeah, I didn't want to stop her from kissing me because I thought it was an Italian cultural thing and I didn't want to upset her. And the host says, but you were kissing her for a half hour, according to your own words. He said, yeah, I know. But look, I didn't want to upset her. It's a cultural thing. Well, the Italians all got up out of their seats, and they started booing the guy.
Yeah, they're like, and especially in Italy, by the way, it's like those Italian guys, there are no rules.
It was the women.
Both.
The women were booing him, saying, we don't believe this, and I want to find out from our audience.
This is where the bunga bunga parties happen. Right. Remember all the Silvio Berlusconi bunga bunga.
That's right. Do you believe this guy at 17 claiming that he's traumatized and that he would be such a stunad to go before an Italian audience to tell his story of how she did a Harvey Weinstein on him? He was really appealing to them, saying, yeah, I was violated. She raped me. She
took advantage of me. Yeah, is there anyone who thinks that she did rape him or that it crossed the line? I do think the teacher, young kid, seven-year-old thing, he obviously sort of, you know, looked up to her, but, and that's yucky. But I mean, to kind of use this as the beacon of the Me Too, He Too.
I'm going to change it.
It's not the Me Too movement. Is it the He Too movement here? It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Is he a He Too versus a Me Too?
But Argento also, what a Pinocchio she is. She's claiming that her late partner, Anthony Bourdain, who she claims she had an open relationship with.
And by the way, she seems open about that. And I don't think it's fair to accuse her of playing a role, like driving him to her, his
death. It's interesting because he's dead. I mean, how does he answer yes or no or whatever? He's dead. Nobody else has said anything. But
he was traveling all over to many parts unknown.
Look, my dad traveled all over the world 8 months a year as a merchant seaman. I don't know of any instances in which all of a sudden he had a second family, a third family, or a fourth family.
Yeah, and we haven't heard anything on his end yet. You're right.
Right. So the point is, she can pretty much say anything about Anthony Bourdain now. He's dead. He can't even speak for himself. But she said that the reason that she paid the settlement was to help Bennett out financially because he was going through tough times.
I mean, I do not agree with that. I mean, there's something clearly wrong here. And Bourdain obviously knew about it, too, because she said a lot of it came from his account, remember? So that's why he was obviously aware that this guy was asking for settlement money. Again, I don't think it's fair to say that that drove him to his death. But I don't think she should be holding herself up as the beacon of the Me Too movement when, at minimum, she had a blissful night with champagne and cigarettes with her young actor that he says he was taken advantage of.
Totally taken advantage of.
That's what I'm saying.
He's traumatized. He can't find work as an actor any longer, he says, because he can't even read the lines. So he's now going to try to be a rock star.
All right. So he's going to try to be
a rock star.
I was at an event in Canada not too long ago, and there was this very handsome guy who was like maybe in his 30s. I walked over. There were a couple women over there that were definitely cougaring on him. And so it sort of was a little bit of the Asia Argento, Jimmy Bennett. I'm curious out there if you guys have seen this sort of cougar. Is there anything that we're missing that we should, A, feel sorry for him or feel sorry for her in this whole ordeal?
I'd like to know who his agent was who said your first full-scale interview should be over in Italy. 1-800-848-WABC. And also, as we're talking about this, in which this is a gray area as to whether he was preyed upon or he participated in it and then ended up with money, Bill Cosby, 3 to 10 years in state prison.
Yep, you knew that was going to come.
He has been designated by the judge a serial predicate offender.
And you know what killed him, Bill Cosby, was there was a psychologist who was asked to testify, and the psychologist was asked, do you think this guy have a proclivity? Because that's why they decide if he's going to get jail time. Especially, his side came out and said, the guy is 81. He's not going to do it again. And the psychologist who got up there said, this guy is a serial guy, so much so that the judge bought it. And now, as you're hearing, he is going to spend 3 to 10 years in state prison.
But you see, my defense of him would have been at the age of 80. It's kind of hard to find Quaaludes any longer. You used to be able to buy them in the streets. They were plentiful. It was considered the sex drug. But where do you get Quaaludes now? Because that was his drug of choice that he would feed to the women unknowingly. They would take it, and then all of a sudden, they would be in a different world. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. As we discussed, we have now Bill Cosby, who's been given 3 to 10 in state prison for being a sexual deviant predicate offender, a danger to society at the age of 80. But we're also talking about the 17-year-old Bennett who claims he was forced to have sex by Asia Argento, the Italian actress. Let's go to Rocco in Bayside. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Rocco.
How are you doing again, man? Hey, listen, God bless that kid. You know, like you said in the beginning, first your feet, fuck a lot. Okay, he's a lucky son of a gun.
Do you believe, now, Rocco, do you believe there's ever a scenario? Because in this case, she did play his mom in a number of movies. So there was a little bit of this mentor, you know. I mean, if the shoe were on the other foot, would you wonder? Come on. Wouldn't you wonder if the shoe were on the other foot, Rocco? If it was a guy and a girl the other way around?
Little bit. Yeah, a tiny bit. But, I mean, you know, hey, come on.
A tiny bit? Come on.
If some girl ever, I mean, an actress especially, she came and did that to me. She's paying for everything. Why not?
She even bought champagne, too,
right,
by the way, Rocco.
Yeah, champagne. Hey, what kind of cigarettes, too?
And Rocco.
Good point.
What a schmuck, what a putz this kid and his agent was to do their first full-scale interview in Italy, where she's an iconic symbol.
Yeah.
And men and women are not at all opposed to women having sex.
Una testa da minghia, we say. This is silly. Testa da minghia. You know what I'm saying? Testa da minghia.
Exactly.
There's something wrong with this guy.
Well, and by the way, if you take, I told you, the guy looks like Andy Warhol, too. If you see his hair, he should have
done his first interview in Salt Lake City, Utah, before a Mormon audience.
Yes.
And he would have had more empathy and sympathy from that audience.
He could have had Brett Kavanaugh in the audience, who said he was a virgin.
Until a graduate school.
That's what I'm saying. If he had a whole bunch of Brett Kavanaughs, it would be a little different.
But up next, the NYPD insists that they do not have a quota for cops to impose tickets on you. And now the elite force, the strategic response group, you see them running around toting M4 assault rifles. They have to be vigilant whenever a potential terrorist act takes place. Is that their sergeant stops them and says, put the M4 assault rifle away. You got to meet your quota of tickets at the end of the month. And they're standing on corners writing tickets. And guess what the NYPD says? They're lying. There's no such thing as a quota. We're going to get into that up next. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. A lot of you know there is a quota system out there. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates. You see them in the streets of New York City. It's the Strategic Response Group of the NYPD. Wear baseball caps. They carry M4 assault rifles. It's clear they're on the ready to respond to any act of terrorism or any psychotic who should suddenly pull a gun out and start blasting people away or mass protest. Some of them are involved with a Hercules unit in which they're in full military garb, which includes the helmets, and we see them oftentimes in front of Madison Square Garden when any kind of a major event is taking place.
Yeah, they're there all the time. I mean, they are constantly there and go through a lot of training, but now we're learning that there's a bit of a behind-the-scenes story here, Curtis.
Well, for them and every cop on the beat, because they're being told, hey, you got to meet a quota. I don't care if you're part of this elite, highly trained group of cops who are there to combat terrorism. You have a responsibility, simple and pure. One arrest and 3 summons a month will keep the sergeant away. And if you don't, there are consequences for you. If you don't bring the numbers in and make our unit look good to One Police Plaza, there'll be transfers out of the unit. You won't get the vacation time you put in for, and we will make your life miserable. And all of this comes on the heels of last spring, Police Commissioner James O'Neill claiming that he was warning supervisors in-house that they better not be enforcing quotas or they would face discipline. And then when the bosses realize this, they don't give you a number. They just punish you. until enough work is done to satisfy them. And oftentimes, Rita, I will see them posted up right on this corner, which is a quota trap. There are many quota traps in the city. Usually at the end of the month, if you haven't gotten your quota of, let's say, three tickets, they'll post you with a sergeant at 34th and 7th. They have signs that are high up there that say you cannot make a turn. So if you happen to be a tourist or coming in from Jersey, you're not used to that. You make the turn, and they'll line up 5, 6, 7 cars in a row between 34th and 33rd on the west side, and they just keep writing up tickets. And the moment you meet your quota, the sergeant will say, okay, you can go back and join your unit. Next up, and then a female officer will come up with a book out. They know they're going to be writing tickets all day long. And as much as it's visible and we all know about it.
And it's the last day of the month, too, Curtis. Too.
Right.
It's those last final days, which is you'll find it hard to believe it's all coincidence.
Well, let's
say
you've been a victim of this. My wife, Nancy, was a victim of this. She got a $110 ticket
right there at
the quota
trap
for an illegal turn. She said, I couldn't see the signs. They said, hey, doesn't matter. The sign is there. I'm writing you a ticket. And you could see there was like disgust on the police officer's face because he realizes he either does this or all of a sudden he's not going to get preferred duty. And the city insists, from the mayor to the police commissioner to the brass at One Police Plaza, there's no such thing as a quota. It's called performance guidelines. I'd love to hear from all of you about this because I know there's a quota. And I know cops out there know there's a quota. And I know people in their cars know there's a quota.
Because
oftentimes when you get stopped at the end of the month, the cops will be honest with you and say, hey, you know, you violated this and I got to write you up. And they basically, it's a wink, wink where you understand.
Well, let's go to the callers. It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. What I think is also so scary about this too, Curtis, is that what they're saying in this, we all sort of know they're this quota deal, you know, but these are whistleblowers in the department at the NYPD who are saying this exists. And they're saying with this special group, too, especially this elite group, that as you're talking about, they're supposed to be out there to protect high-profile locations, individuals, dangerous situations. They're all over the place. You see them this week with the UN week, with all the world leaders and everybody in town. They're saying what's happening as a result of this, they are so focused on some of this elite, you know, on getting the quotas for even that unit, that they're not spending as much time training and preparing. That, to me, is scary for every New Yorker.
Every mayor who's ever served in the office, whether I liked him or I didn't like him, would always lie about this. Giuliani lied about it. Bloomberg lied about it. Dinkins lied about it. Koch lied about it. Now de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio, lies about it. They say there's no quotas in it. It's built into the budget. Tickets, and not just what cops write, but the brownies and sanitation department and the EPA and all those tickets are built into the budget in advance. So if they don't hit their quota, then the budget is in a deficit. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mikey in Westchester. First up in the queue, welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mikey.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love your show. Curtis, let's use a word from Bernie McGurk. Let's stop the bull shizzle.
That's a good one. I love Burn.
I was a rookie sergeant in 88 in Midtown, and it was 20-2. Two red lights, 20 parkers. You get the cops' activity reports the last day of the month. They go into the CO. The third day of the month, lieutenant sergeants go into the CO meeting. He goes through them. Okay, why is there 8-1? Move him to midnights. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Now, Mike, let me ask you a question. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This has been going on for so long. What's going to happen now? These whistleblowers are coming out, and you're saying the same thing happened, and we all know it's been happening for decades. Why can't somebody change it? They've blown the whistle. What are they going to do?
It's not going to change. It's revenue. It's for the city.
I know. So sad.
I mean, it also falls on the sergeant and the lieutenant. If you have cops who are deadbeats and not giving the numbers to the CO, you're not getting out of uniform. If you want to go to narcotics or anti-crime, you're not moving. You're stuck with these guys.
So what's more important, Mike, ultimately in the evaluation of you as you try to move up the ladder, writing tickets or making collars?
I would say for the city, writing tickets.
Wow.
Sad.
Because
how sad.
It brings the dollars in.
Yeah, there's no
college
doubt about
it.
Dollars in. And they all like, and Mike.
You know what, Curtis? College bring overtime to the cops.
Yeah, obviously. And how sad is that? But you know what's so sad, too, Mike? The fact, Curtis, that this is this elite unit, too, and that they are saying that they can't really train well, they can't focus on terrorism, these kind of things, because they got to write tickets. I mean, how messed up is that?
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Salvatore Sally in Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Sal.
What's going on, Curtis? That's why you got to plead not guilty and fight in the court, because the judge sees when they give you the ticket and stuff, and most of the time you beat it.
Ah,
so, yeah, that's a good one.
My wife Nancy should have slept to court, and there's a likelihood that that cop who was meeting his quota that day would not have shown up.
You can delay it a couple of times. You're allowed to delay it three times if you can't.
And maybe you show on the calendar. Maybe you go, okay, listen, it was the last 2 or 3 days of the month. Is that a coincidence, Judge?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes the judge knocks it down to half price or a little less.
But then you got to go to the time. We have to go fight it because of the quota. That's not fair. That is bowl of feathers.
Fair. You can't park in the streets. You can't drive in the streets. You can't do nothing. Nothing.
Well, just imagine, as you heard from Mike previously, the cop, he says, if you write tickets, it's considered more of an achievement in the eyes at One Police Plaza to your elevation through the ranks than if you make collars.
How sad is that? Especially at a time when there's so much going on in the world, Curtis. That is so sad.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Christine in Yonkers. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hello. I love you guys.
Thank you, Christine.
I was just saying that I have a bunch of friends and some family members, 6 in total, that are New York City cops.
Awesome.
And they do say that they kind of stick up for the brass and say, you know, they're not lying that there's not a quota. Just the word quota is not used. And you're right. It's like a performance issue. I guess every job.
It's the phrase.
It turned out to be a quota.
How did they say it? What's the phrase? What's the, you know?
It was what you mentioned. It was like a performance evaluation, I guess, or it goes under the performance. Of course, I got nervous and forgot the word. I had it. But,
yeah, but it's just like a little politically correct word.
Right, but Christine, it's not just unique to New York City. It's there in Yonkers with the police department there. Yep. It's in small towns and villages and boroughs that are speed traps. They all have quotas. And you can see them posted, like at towards the end of the month. They're in speed trap mode because they got to make their quota.
I see where they are in Yonkers.
Yep.
Don't you think if a quota went down, maybe that could be leading to, like, you know, maybe the crime or the people, you know, making these offenses got smarter and aren't doing it? I would think it had might reflect a different light.
They got to pull in the cash, though. How are they going to pull in the cash?
What's more important? True. Someone's getting robbed in the Schlobein projects, or you're writing a ticket of somebody who made an illegal turn on Broadway. I would think resolving the crime in the Schlobein projects in Yonkers near Getty Square is more important.
And terrorism. These guys are on the terrorism, basically, task force, which really has to focus on serious crimes, Curtis. I don't want them thinking of quotas.
Let's go to Sam in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Sammy?
Hey, how you doing? Hope everything's going well. Pleasure to be on your show. I wanted to comment on exactly what you're speaking about. It's really an agenda that the de Blasio administration has put out. That they go out and try to ticket as many people as they can as part of their agenda to gain revenue. I'm a contractor, and I do a lot of work in the public streets. And no matter how many permits I take out, these officers will come out, they'll find an excuse for every single thing that you might be doing wrong. It might be the minuscule of things. They hand out a ticket, and you can't fight it. I'll get a ticket for $750 for not having slip-resistant plates. And if you explain to them that, well, it's only there for a few minutes, and you either pay the ticket or you're not allowed to get any more permits. So it's an agenda-driven.
Well, it's Sam, we would call that a shakedown. We would call that extortion. It's sort of like you either pay our quota tickets or you won't be doing business in the streets of New York City any longer. It's a good old-fashioned shakedown act of extortion by the cops or the sanitation cops or the EPA or the brownies. 1-800-848-WABC.
And everybody, you are the first ones to learn about this. 77 WABC, we are inviting you to our next awesome Pubs and Politics event. Curtis and I are going to be hosting it. And Curtis, we have some very, very cool guests. First of all, it's another one of our great series. It's going to be at the Cutting Room in New York City, which is a very cool venue, October 22nd, 7 p.m. And Curtis, boy, do we have a great lineup. We have special guest. Our featured guest is former Fox News host and best-selling author Bill O'Reilly, who doesn't do a lot of big public appearances. So this is going to be very neat. It's a chance for you to meet Bill O'Reilly. Also, Cuomo opponent, New York gubernatorial candidate Mark Molinaro, who you have endorsed. He has been here in the studio with us. You guys have heard him here on the show. You can meet him in person, and he has really taken it to Governor Cuomo. And also, we have a salute to the military with two huge military heroes. We have Medal of Honor recipients, Jack Jacobs and Paul Buca, two unbelievable guys, and Senate GOP nominee Shel Farley, who is running against Kirsten Gillibrand. Everybody go right now, because this is definitely going to sell out. WABCradio.com, WABCradio.com. Curtis and I are going to have a ball, and we can't wait to meet all of you. This is first come, first serve, WABCradio.com, Curtis.
And who knows what's going to come of everything revolving around Kavanaugh today, a day before he's supposed to testify along with his accuser on Thursday. Or will something else pop up and suddenly cause there to be a postponement, maybe until Monday? Or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or as the Democrats hope, never.